From Ben Franklin Studios in Queen Creek, Arizona, it's the Radio 201 Podcast.
Hello, and thank you for joining this podcast. This is Angelo Fernando on Radio 201, the podcast from Benjamin Franklin High School, coming out of the computer lab, episode 42. This is the last podcast for the school year, I think. But I wanted to feature some of the best things that we've done here in relation to podcasting. You know, last semester, I submitted some podcasts to the KQED Student Voices Challenge, and it's really the best of the best that was submitted. This year, since I also opened the challenge for podcasting in this class, we had some great ones, and I'm going to feature some excerpts from them. I wish I could feature all of them, but they were about 5 to 8 minutes long. I'll just mention them. There was one on Cadet's Guide to CAP, one on coding games with two brothers. Amazing discussion about coding. There's one or two, I think, on conspiracy theories. There were two podcasts on social media. One was actually called What's Wrong with This Generation or What's Wrong with Social Media. The other one was on the pros and cons. And of course, there's one on the Symphony Wars, where two students pick up on a previous podcast. This semester, we had 15 podcasters or podcasting groups. How this worked is I asked students to sit in front of a microphone in the studio. Well, I shouldn't call this a studio. This is in my computer lab. Just a plastic table with a cloth and the recording equipment. And then I got them to talk after a little bit of preparation. But you'd be surprised at the conversations that came out and at the discussions and the pros and the cons of the topics. So remember, these are seventh graders. They're doing something for the first time. I hope you enjoyed. You can find the rest on my website.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Symphony Wars Part 2 podcast. I'm Georgia Woodford.
And I'm Alva Wagner.
Coming in from the Benjamin Franklin High School Computer Lab. Today, we'll be expanding on a podcast made by our friends Carson Olsler and Spencer Sorensen. They discuss the differences between band and orchestra, but we are going to talk more in depth about orchestra specifically and what makes it up.
I'm not going to say that personality will make up for how good you play, but personality does play a huge factor in the energy to the orchestra. What is best is to be humble, but also a leader. You want the people in your section to be able to rely on you, but you also want to make sure you're not showing off. Positivity is also really important, but don't get too excited. At rehearsals and stuff, it's also very important to stay focused, so you don't bring the seriousness of the concert down. Sometimes it can get a little out of hand.
It can.
Yeah. If you're a musician in orchestra or band, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, because everyone can be the section leader. It just, you have to, like, you have to earn your place. And, like, it's your leadership skills. That's what determines if you're going to be section leader or not. Like, I'm section leader in one of my orchestras, and I didn't even notice, like, my section was watching me. Well, those are all great points. So that's it for today. I'm Georgia Woodford.
And I'm Ava Wagner.
And thank you for listening to the Symphony Wars podcast.
Now in this next podcast, you'll hear Josh interview his brother, Adam.
Welcome to this week's episode of Coding Games here in the BFHS Computer Lab. I'm Joshua Johnston, and today we'll be interviewing my brother, Adam Johnston, to see what he does on Scratch, which is his favorite thing to do, programming. Hello, Adam.
Morning, Josh. Glad to be here.
So you've coded how many games now?
That's a hard question. I'd say I've been programming for about 4 years, and I just started a lot of projects that I've never really gotten around to finish. But the total of my completed games, I'd say maybe like 5 or 6.
Which one has been the hardest?
Ooh, the hardest one. I've got to say, I programmed many games, but the hardest one for me has got to be a game called Star Hand. Ignore all the conversation, all the story around it, but it's essentially a shooter game where you're supposed to fly around and just shoot a lot of stuff. The hard part about it was, it was one of my biggest games yet, and it was just a really, really huge time commitment. And so a lot of hard things were the voice acting, which, you know, despite my voice changing, hasn't really aged well. And, you know, just flying around, shooting stuff, and then just bug fixes.
Yeah, bug fixes are the worst.
Oh, great. Don't even get me started.
So, I've heard you've created a game called Chameleon Spies, and that's basically... your art design's basically kind of pixelated, right?
Yeah, I've sort of taken a pixelated and simplistic approach to my art design because, you know, it's not really one of my strongest suits. I'd say when it comes to programming, you really want to place your emphasis on three important things: gameplay, sound, and art design. I'm sure there's many more, but those are the three fundamental things. If you can balance those three perfectly, then you've got yourself a good game. So, do you program, Josh?
I've tried. It's very hard, but, yeah, I've tried to... What you do is amazing, so I've tried to just be like you because, you know, you're my brother.
Yep. So. One of your games that you've been working on that haven't really picked up recently is a game called Road to MVP.
Oh, yeah, the sports game. I haven't worked on that in a while, so...
So, tell me more about the mechanics of that game.
That game's basically like a tournament, a sports tournament. Right now, the first game is kind of... It's basketball. So, basically, you press a button...
Fascinating stuff, isn't it? Like I said, this is something you should listen to. I'm going to switch you to a different one now. And this one is on the Cadet's Guide to CAP. This was Gavin interviewing a ninth grade student, Andrew. And there's interesting rapport between the two of them. Listen.
All right, hello and welcome to Cadet's Guide to Civil Air Patrol. I am Cadet Airman First Class Steele, and I am here today with Cadet Tech Sergeant McLaughlin.
Hey there.
All right, so McLaughlin, what is Civil Air Patrol?
Civil Air Patrol is a U.S. Air Force auxiliary. They'll tell you that a lot once you join, but we get funded by the Air Force to do a lot of things, including cadet programs. We get leadership courses. We get emergency services where, and when you become an adult, you can actually find people, fly planes, you know, and run things for lost hikers even. You also have a lot of programs for entry into someone's future. So you start out here and then it'll give you better opportunities in the future.
Going along with that, is Civil Air Patrol worthwhile?
I think it is. It's one of the funnest things I've ever done. In my opinion, I meet a lot of friends, I gain a lot of discipline. It's worthwhile to help you yourself for your present and future.
And where are you on this chain of command?
I'm right about to be on the next part of the chain of command, if I'm going to be honest. I am a tech sergeant, which means I've been promoted beyond the point of being at the lowest level to a point where I could actually lead a flight. So, if I got promoted to a staff position, then I would be able to go up and lead a group of cadets around 10 to 20.
Why should kids be interested?
Well, I'm a huge plane nerd. That's one of the reasons why I joined. But I know a lot of people like the leadership, the discipline, drill, and ceremonies, and everything like that. But it also helps you in your future opportunities.
Are there any essential skills that you would say are needed to succeed inside of the Civil Air Patrol Cadet Program?
Well, you have to not be a quitter, one of these things. I see a few cadets who will just join, and they'll do their 3 weeks and be like, oh, I want to do this. And then they'll just quit once everything gets tough. So that's one of the most essential skills. But besides that, they'll teach you everything. They'll help you with discipline. They'll help you with leadership. If you answer a question wrong, you won't be scolded for it. It's everything is not just, you did this wrong, you're out. It's a pretty inclusive program, in my opinion.
Going back to the chain of command, what is the cadet ranking system?
The cadet ranking system starts basically where you need to do 3 weeks as a kind of trial period before you can actually enter in as a cadet airman basic. Then you have a little bit of promotions till you get to a sergeant level, where there's a lot of sergeant promotions up to a chief, and these sergeants can lead flights as flight sergeants, or at a higher level lead as first sergeants over entire squadrons, where they will construct like physical training and stuff like that. And then beyond that, you have officers, which will lead as flight commanders, and higher level executive commanders for drill, deputy cadet commanders, cadet commanders, and a lot of stuff like that. So it's a huge chain of people helping each other.
Interesting. And to bring this to a close, the most important thing, does CAP get you girls?
Kind of. It won't directly get you girls, but you can meet them there. So check out Squadron 304.
Squadron 304 on top. Thank you, Cadet Tech Sergeant McLaughlin.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And this was Cadet's Guide to Civil Air Patrol.
What do you think of that? I was so impressed. For young people, so committed, so inspiring. So now let's switch gears and listen to another group taking on a very important topic relevant to their lives and our lives, quite frankly.
Hello, welcome to our podcast, What is Wrong with This Generation, live from Benjamin Franklin Computer Lab. We have a guest here, Anthony Ortega.
What's good, bro?
And then we have Braxton Toff over here, and I'm Xander Dixon. So, what's going on with social media?
It's really cool. Get to hang, like, call some friends and stuff.
The downside of it is, normally, you don't get to see your family as much because you're face buried in your phone, and you're just, like, hiding from family parties in your room on your phone.
What do you mean by that, Braxton?
So, it's probably just, like, scrolling through TikTok or whatever, and you see this thing, I don't know, and you think it's like, oh, this is a good idea. I'm actually here right now, so you...
But some people aren't addicted to their phones, though. Just like me. I don't even have a phone, though. So...
So how are you... Never mind.
I just got my phone taken away.
Okay. But the other day, I saw a video of a cat in a blender. I'm not even joking. That stuff was terrible. When I watched it, I was like, oh my gosh, where are we going nowadays?
The other downside to social media is kids' suicide rates have been off the charts because they're, like, not feeling good about themselves, so they're just killing themselves.
It's because all the comments about them, how ugly they are.
Or they just,
about
like,
saying, like, how ugly they are, even though they're not.
Or they don't have, like, for say, the latest Jordans, like, the newest Jordans, so they, like, just, like...
But is there any good things about social media?
Not really.
Yes,
I mean,
a
you
little
get to
bit.
Talk to, like, people.
Yeah, you got many friends you could talk to, and you got games on your phone.
TikTok is...
No, like, all of them. Only TikTok?
We got TikTok, we got Roblox, we got...
Snapchat,
we got YouTube.
For reasons. YouTube isn't that bad.
We got Pinterest, we got...
Facebook. And Instagram.
Yeah. The video I was talking to you about, the cat in the blender, I found that on Twitter. We're talking about social media. Are games bad for you?
Yeah, they can be like... My mom says, like, she used to play me... She used to let me play these games with, like, one tap of the button, and, like, you feel accomplished because you did something by pressing your finger on a phone. So she's just like, I don't want you playing those anymore because you feel joy from pressing a button. So.
Yeah.
I mean, there is games like Call of Duty, and they have, like, built-in mics, stuff like... Fortnite or stuff like that. And then
we got Call of Duty, we got Fortnite, we got Apex, we got PUBG. So many games that involve shooting. My parents don't care, so.
Well, okay, let's get back to social media. Do you think we should get rid of social media completely?
No.
Why?
Because.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It does help us, like, connect with loved ones and everybody, and it is nice to kind of just chill by yourself and be on your phone, but if it becomes too much of a problem, then it should be limited.
It should be limited.
Yeah.
And limit app time use.
Yeah, and then it's probably good for us because we can, like, go outside and actually hang with friends.
So you're saying that we should have social media, just it should be restricted, like there should be certain things that aren't posted, certain times you can be on it?
Yeah, there should definitely be restrictions and, like, violent and stuff like that. Violence,
yeah,
limited.
Because we all need to get outside more. Like me, I used to always play inside on my games, but then she started skateboarding, goaded at skateboarding.
I mean, you know. I play video games with my little brother, and we have fun while doing it.
We call Sunday our fun day, because that's where we actually hang out with all of our family and friends. Well,
that was our podcast. What is Wrong with This Generation with
Anthony Otello,
Braxton Toft,
and Xander Dixon. Thank you for listening.
I love the next podcast. It was done by a student who felt like he had to talk about his favorite teacher. And he wanted to also find out what makes a teacher who he is. Listen.
Welcome to Mr. Greer's Backstory. I'm your host, M.M. Brinson, and this is your favorite history teacher.
Mr. Greer, that's me.
Today we're going to go over why Mr. Greer decided to be a teacher instead of being a comedian, because you know how he puts on all of his funny videos and his funny attitude.
I suppose so. So I became a teacher, I decided to, when 8th grade I won the History Student of the Year. And one of the reasons I decided to become a teacher is I unfortunately got a speeding ticket when I was in high school and I had to do some community service. That meant volunteering at the elementary school behind my high school. And it turns out that I was really good with teaching the kids and being involved in that process. I attended at Chandler Gilbert Community College for a couple of years in Arizona State University for my bachelor's degree, and then I went to Adams State University for my master's degree.
What do you think was your hardest period during that time?
Writing my master's thesis. It was a 80-page document that had to be rigorously edited and made sure it was at tip-top shape. It took me more than a year to write. This is my 10th year. I'm finishing my 10th year of teaching this year in one form or another.
So you can see Mr. Greer's backstory and how you got to where he is now as BFHS's number one history teacher. See ya.
All right. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Now, there were many other podcasts that I'm only featuring just a sample of them, and I heavily edited this for brevity. I'll leave you with the last podcast where the two hosts talk about books. These last 2 weeks have been intense, where they were writing, editing, designing, and publishing their books as ebooks. The topics were just mind-blowing, and I never expected some of these, especially the ones on historical fiction, so listen to this one.
Hi, my name is Gianna Monastero, and I'm here with Magnolia Miller for my book talk.
Setting the scene today, we are at the Benjamin Franklin High School Computer Lab. So, Gia, what is your book about?
My book is about this 13-year-old girl going through a tuberculosis plague in England in the 1800s.
And who are some of the other characters?
The book is mostly centered around Violet Dixon, and yeah, she like has this immunity to the plague, which makes her suffer a lot. And it's not really like a happy book, but it is an interesting one.
Sounds very interesting. So, since she's immune to the tuberculosis, does that mean she suffers by watching everybody else suffer?
Yeah, basically. She doesn't like directly get it, but everybody else does that's close to her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she just had to live through it alone. It's kind of a dark time, so it's hard to get friends, but she does make one friend.
Okay. What does her grandma do for her? Does she get tuberculosis?
In the end, her grandmother actually dies due to the plague. Although it's like set in the 1800s, it still follows like a 13-year-old girl to make it more relatable to the viewers, but I do not recommend this for like younger viewers. I purposely left some like diary entries in like other languages for people to translate just for fun, you know, and other things like that.
Who helped you write your book?
So my friend Leah helped me a lot. She kind of edited my book, and also my other friend Carrie, she gave me a lot of reviews and she also left comments on my book. So anyway, let's talk about your book.
Yay.
What's the name of your book?
The Journal of George Wood.
Who is George Wood?
He is a boy from the 1910s and he goes to war in World War I and then he gets back. Falls in love.
Does your book have a happy ending?
Yes.
If so, what?
He gets married, and then you find out that the entire book was him reading his journal to his kids.
Oh, that's so cute. So, who is George Wood? Did you, like, get inspired by any famous people, or...?
Wood was based off of one of my friend's last names, Calliope.
Oh. This really concludes our book talks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And this brings to an end my podcast, Radio 201. Thank you for listening this far. I know this has been one of the longest podcasts, but hey, this was the last podcast for the school year, and I really, really wanted to celebrate the successes that we did in this class. This also happens to be the week that we are celebrating Little Free Library's anniversary. It's the 11th anniversary, apparently, of the Little Free Library concept. So we have two libraries in the school. Some of the students are involved in it, and of course, some of them are big readers, and we discussed this in class. And yes, this is a computer class, but we teach a lot of other skills as well, reading, writing, editing, publishing, and of course, communication. Sometimes I like to tell students that you were tricked. You came into a computer class, but really you were coming into a communications class, because after all, what's the point of computers if you don't learn how to use it to communicate better? So I hope you enjoy this show. I hope you listen to our future podcasts. We're going to be a different upgrade to this podcast in the new school year. Thank you again for listening. This is Angelo Fernando signing off.
Thank you for listening to Radio 201. You can find more of these podcasts on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.